Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented as a public service by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. That's Thomas, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I'll return in a moment with today's guest, Dr. Lori Bechtel-Wary, Chancellor of Penn State Altoona, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Some time back, they did a survey and they found that lots of people who lived within a few miles of the Liberty Bell or the Statue of Liberty never visited either place. That happens around here too. Just after the start of the French and Indian War, Bedford County became the gateway to the West with the opening of the Forbes Road, which we now call Route 30. In 1794, President George Washington had to come here to quell the Whiskey Rebellion. By 1913, the first transcontinental road for motor cars, the Lincoln Highway, was dedicated here, and the legendary Bedford Springs Resort still welcomes people from all over the world. With this kind of legacy, why keep it a secret? Spread the word about Bedford County, the history, the charm, and the regal Alleghenies. Bedford County, America's open door to the West.
I don't think anything is talked about more today than education, whether it be primary, secondary, post-college, postdoctoral, all kinds of education. In fact, on the way up to my destination today, that's all I could think about was how much money is spent on this endeavor and how much time is spent and how much news gets on the air and in the newspapers every day about colleges and so forth. So I thought maybe we should come to the source and find out what this whole endeavor is about. So with me is Lori Bechtel-Wary, Dr. Lori Bechtel-Wary, who is the Chancellor and Dean of Penn State Altoona. So first of all, Dr. Wary, I want to thank you very, very much for taking the time to talk to us. I've really enjoyed my visit thus far.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We have a very interesting guest here. Not only is Dr. Bechtel-Wary been on this campus for some period of time, and at Penn State, for I understand, for even a longer period of time. So I want to learn a little bit about it. Are you a local girl? Or are you from somewhere else?
I sure am. Are you? I'm a kid from the Cove, as
kid
we say.
Kid from the Cove?
Yeah, what Morrison's Cove.
Okay.
Morrison's Cove.
Right.
No water there.
Okay.
But it's a beautiful hamlet of Roaring Spring, Martinsburg, East Freedom, etc. Actually, I was born at Huntington Hospital in 1957, July 21, and lived.
You're not supposed to tell us that.
I don't care. I'm 59 years young, and I'm proud of it. So I lived in Martinsburg and grew up there my entire life. I'm always fond of saying we had one stoplight and three cows for every human, and we still do. We're proud of that. I live two blocks from my homestead, and I across the fields I see the farmland that my grandfather had, and so literally I'm back in my roots.
You know, I had one of your neighbors tell me recently when I was in Roaring Spring that it's not Roaring Springs, it's Roaring Spring.
Absolutely right. In fact, I heard that on WPSU the other morning, Roaring Springs, and
so they got wrong.
I almost called in, but I thought, let it go.
Yeah, there's non-commercial stations are.
There is one spring, and it's Roaring Spring.
Right.
Yeah, so it was a great place to grow up.
But does it roar?
The spring?
Yeah.
Yeah. It roars just a bit, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful pond, and, you know, you take the kids there when they're young and feed the ducks, which is not really healthy for them, but the ducks, not the kids. So, yeah, it was a great place to grow up. There's a great work ethic there. There's a great sense of safety, you know. Neighbors take care of neighbors. You pitch in. I grew up knowing that work is work, and work doesn't care who does it, and work is important, and you work hard. And I loved growing up there.
You know, it's interesting to me that you mention all this, because one of the reasons I came to this part of the world was to kind of get away from the opposite of that, you know, the large urban areas where this attitude is not particularly prevalent. Mm-hmm. And have you experienced this when the students have come from, say, urban areas to come to this campus? Are they surprised to see what they see here and around here?
Yeah, I think
because it is beautiful.
Hey,
it really is a charming spot, you know, and there's not much pressure for the kinds of things they would if they were in a big city.
I think, yeah, some are very pleasantly surprised. Many students haven't seen a cow before.
Yeah,
you know, think
I'll
about
bet.
That. And there's lots of green space, and you can drive from point A to point B and not have to get right. on and off five exits. And so it's I think many are pleasantly surprised and choose us as a destination because of that. Some have nostalgia for, you know, a bit more of an urban life, but we try to provide a lot of and all manner of programs here on campus to keep them engaged. And we do expect every student to get involved in the community in a very positive way by serving, volunteering, et cetera.
Where did Lori go to high school?
I went to high school at Central High School. I graduated in 1975.
Uh-huh.
Distinguished alum.
Well, of course you are. I wouldn't speak to anyone else.
Very, very happy about that. When they first started the program to honor the Leon Kensinger you know, the schools there. But I got a great education there. And we had, I remember early on planting trees and thinking about the environment and taking care of the land. That's, you know, that's very sacred in the area. And, so I had a great education there. A lot of good fun.
So did you go to Penn State from there?
No, I went to Lock Haven.
Okay.
University. It was a state college
right.
then. And went there for 4 years. Then went on to get a master's at University of Illinois, took my first job at the State University of New York in Plattsburgh and taught there from 80 to 84. Loved that job.
When you went to Illinois, was it in Urbana?
Champaign-Urbana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And after that, I came back to Penn State to get my PhD. So I was at University Park for 3 years. I was there 1 year working on that and taught. I was a teaching assistant there and loved that very much. And then I had an opportunity to come to Penn State Altoona to teach some classes. And here's what's interesting. I grew up in the Cove. I have very fond memories of coming to Altoona with my grandparents to come to the city and go shopping at Gables in the bustling downtown, see Santa Claus as a kid. I still remember the white gloves on the elevator operator, and that was, you know, fun times.
I think you need to come back.
Yeah. Well, we're changing that. But here's the thing. I had never set foot at this campus. Back then, and I'm talking 75 when I graduated, it was, we knew it was here, but it was seen more as a, and pardon this expression because it's not this anymore, like 13th grade. It was very small and very... I had never been here. So when I came back from upstate New York and I was a student at University Park and came here to teach, I thought, wow, this is a gem. So after that first year, a position came open for me to teach here. There was someone at University Park, Beth Ann Sinelli, one of my good colleagues at Westchester. And we virtually switched positions, and she wanted, I wanted the larger experience, and she wanted the smaller right. experience here. She had had that, and I had had that, the larger one. I got that backwards. But anyway, so we switched places. I fell in love with the place. I finished PhD, a tenure track line came open, and I got the position, and I have been here ever since,
what
proudly serving. I'm a professor of biobehavioral health and women's studies.
Oh,
I do primary prevention, how to stay healthy, how to eat, how to exercise.
Is that a new field in this part of the
country? No, it's been around for quite some time.
Really?
Yeah, it's a combination of, you know, physiology and science and biology and mental health and all kinds of things coming together around happy existence.
Do they have courses in that here on
Yeah, there's
campus?
A major, and there's, you can get a PhD.
Really? Really?
Yeah. My tenure home's at University Park in the College of Health and Human Development, and I'm a member of the Faculty of Biobehavioral Health.
Well, I came to Penn State Altoona today to learn something, and I've already learned lots of stuff, and I learned it from the chancellor, so this is great. And Dr. Lori Bechtel-Wary is my guest, and we're here at the Penn State Altoona campus on this absolutely spectacular day. It's been kind of muggy and horrible, but today is just absolutely wonderful. Let me talk to you a little bit about, if I may, Dr. Wary, what is it like for a parent to see this place for the first time? I mean, you must see them every time you have a new class. I'm just curious about their reaction. This, to me, looks like this enormous college campus, a little overwhelming to me. I went to a small school in the middle of a city, so this is just so different. Mm-hmm. So what are some of kind of the reactions you get from the parent?
I think the biggest thing is it's beautiful, and they love that. But beyond that, they love the vibe that we have here. Let's move in. It's better than the holidays for me. Mm-hmm. The students, some are coming back. Some have been here all summer, but new students are coming in. And we are like bees to honey. We have our T-shirts on. The car pulls in. It's very methodical. They come in. They park for 10, 15 minutes max. And, 12 people go to the car. You're in 322 Maple. Lloyd, we'll take your stuff right up. Just you go get your keys. We'll meet you up there.
Right.
We carry the stuff up. We have a friendly, welcoming campus that we really, every person here, staff, faculty, want to serve the students and help them succeed. And that's what I hope they get. And I hear that. I hear that from folks. Oftentimes I'm walking at this time, when people are coming here, I will be walking in from my parking spot and I'll see people looking lost. I'll say, may I help you? And walk them to where they want to go. Oftentimes they have no idea who I am. I don't care about that. Yeah. I just want them to know that they are welcome here and we're here to help. I met a student, Beza, from Kenya. Mm. And I tried to impress her by saying, oh, that means beautiful child in Kiswahili, right, which is spoken in Tanzania. And she said, well, it's just a name to me. It's Beza.
Fooled you.
Yeah. But I got sit down with her mother and grandmother and just say, if you need anything, I'm here to help. They had no idea who I was, but, we'll take care of her. I'll look out for her. Right. That's what I think is that we have as special here. And we have that not just for folks here, but in the surrounding community and town that folks get together.
Well, the reason I asked you that question is I've often heard from parents saying, we went there and we're like deer in the headlights because of all these big buildings. And does it pay off?
Yeah, exactly. And the students, the upperclassmen and the orientation leaders help out. And it's a coveted thing. We have students just volunteering. It is such a fun atmosphere. And think about it. And think, Lloyd, when you first went to school, I was scared to death. A kid from Martinsburg with, about 2,000 people going to this big college. And I remember I get teary thinking about it, when mom and dad pulled away.
Yeah.
I was all by myself. You find your way. I remember that feeling. And I want students to feel like they have a whole family here. They have people that will help them. Our job is to help them succeed and achieve their dreams. And what's more important than that?
Well, my wife was a wreck when we left our son.
college. Yeah,
yeah, sure.
I understand.
Oh, boy. Well, let me just shift gears if I may. I want to learn a little bit about the school itself. This has been here a long time. Your assistant, Cindy Beauchamp, told me that the school's been here 75 years. I had no idea it was that old.
Actually, 1939, we were founded in September.
You've been here all these years, and you said it started out as 13th grade, and now you've got this great big university here.
Well,
so it's quite a growth.
It's an amazing, amazing story. Read the story, and you can draw some great things from that. But let me tell you this. It started from a vision of local community members, Ted Holtzinger and others, who realized the importance of education and what that education could transform not only students' lives, but cities and towns.
Right.
And fundamentally, they understood that. So they went forward with a proposal to extend courses here. We started on the corner of 15th and Lexington in an abandoned schoolhouse. That's how it started in downtown Altoona. And from there, they raised money to help purchase this land, these acres, from E. Raymond Smith, a pharmacist from Philadelphia. Mm. This used to be an amusement park. We're fond of saying on any given day it might be. Our division heads are in what used to be the shooting gallery.
So where's the Ferris wheel? Right?
Yeah, which is apropos. But anyway, they went door to door, and they raised the monies to help start the college and bring it here and to erect this building, the first major building on campus. And one of the stories that I love is John Kazmaier, who was on our advisory board, longtime supporter of not only our college but the city, wonderful human being. He was serving in the Army at the time, and he read in his local paper about this drive, and he wrote a check for, I think it was $50. And said, I'm proud to do this. And
that was real money then.
That's a lot of money then. And, and well, there's a building named after him and his his mother and his wife, Dee Dee, and Mrs. Lauer's mother, in downtown Altoona. So it was that kind of community support and vision that started this college, and that kind of community buy-in all those years ago. And while we have changed immensely, you know, we're 164.5 acre campus here, right. We have the downtown campus, there is one thing that has never changed, and that is the support of this community and our advisory board for this college. And as I said, they had an uncommon vision, and they rally around us every time there's a need, and it's really very special. And that's why I feel such an important commitment to this community. Not only am I from this area and grew up here, but we wouldn't be here without this community. So our part of our mission is to serve this community, and I like to think we do that well.
When we return, we're going to learn a little bit more about the school, and I'm going to ask Dr. Wary, what is actually taught here? This is particularly interesting to me because it's going to surprise you what they do here. They do a lot. Just want to remind you, the Bedford County Chamber of Commerce proudly supports and celebrates the business community of Bedford County. And to learn more, visit them online at bedfordcountychamber.com. We'll return in a moment with Laurie Bechtel-Wary when we come back.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. Long before electronic ignitions, in-dash entertainment, alloy wheels, and moonroofs, our family has provided your family with worry-free transportation and reliable service. One of the great things about living in Bedford County is that all of us still appreciate personal service and the value of a reputation. So many things we want today are measured only by appearance and price. At Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, we strive to do more for you so that we can succeed. In all the years we've been in business, we've never lost sight of the fact that purchasing a car is a big deal for any family, including my own. Your car or truck is your connection to the outside world, whether it be your job, church, or family. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru understands your needs, and that is why we invite you to visit us first. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car or truck is always worry-free.
This is Alan Sell, Superintendent of the Bedford Area School District, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310, WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned from the beautiful Penn State Altoona campus in, where else, Altoona. Guest today is Dr. Laurie Bechtel-Wary, who is the chancellor and dean of this institution. You know, Dr. Wary, I think it's very interesting to me that the history you told us before the break about these people that founded this place and the support they gave. Altoona was a big industrial railroad town back then. This was not a paragon of education. This was a big, gritty place. So it's amazing that that idea came out of that environment, don't you think?
Right. Well, let's think about the time. You know, there was a world war going on, right? And I think that's why I say they had an uncommon vision. They realized the society and the world was changing, and that, you know, industry and business is always important, as it remains today. But they understood fundamentally that helping to develop educated folks who can think and who can have big ideas and change the world was going to be important in the next phase of the country's development. And I think that's what drove it. And so there are, of the 19 campuses, five are what are called standalone colleges. And so we have our own degree offerings. And when we had a major reorganization several years ago, back in 1997, five became standalone colleges. Actually, Erie had been standalone and graduate programs. Harrisburg, for example, was all graduate programs. They now develop baccalaureate programs. Oh, really? And then Abington, Berks, and Altoona got in line to say, yeah, we want to be more than just typical. We were, back then, a 1 or 2 year feeder. You would start here in any one of those 100 plus, 180 plus majors, and there probably weren't that many back then, but that's what the number is now, roughly. And then students would go here 1 or 2 years, depending on major, and then go to University Park campus to finish their degree.
Got it.
So regardless of where you start, it's a Penn State degree.
Mm-hmm.
So in 97, when that major reorganization for the Commonwealth campuses occurred, there are 19 total in the Commonwealth campus category, we said we're going to become a college. And so think about it for me as a faculty member here, a tenured full professor, to have the opportunity to work with faculty and staff in the community to build that. Mm-hmm. So, and every campus has a story like this. That's what's beautiful about the Commonwealth. And if you think, we have campuses in every, that serve every county in this state and this Commonwealth. We are a unique institution of higher ed in all of the country. And our campuses bring us great strengths because we are rooted, literally grew from the communities, mm-hmm. and we serve our communities. And think of the opportunity that provides for higher education for folks that might not otherwise have been able to go. I'm first generation college. Mm-hmm. I understand how important that is. All right, so here at Altoona, we started off in 1997 with zero baccalaureate degree programs, and I'm very proud to sit with you today and tell you since that time, working together with faculty and staff and the community and advisors and folks mm-hmm. at University Park, we've built 22 baccalaureate degree programs mm-hmm. that the students can start here and end here in any one of those if they choose. Now, if they want to start in any one of the 180-plus majors of the university, they can start here and stay here for 1 or 2 years and then matriculate and finish there. Mm-hmm. That's the unique thing about Penn State. We're everywhere in Pennsylvania and people have choices. You can start and end where you want.
Or you can stay here.
You can stay here. Oh, I see. And
you
increasingly
don't have to go to University
Park.
No.
And we've been doing that since 1997. Yeah. And in fact, we have, you know, we have roughly 1,000 to 1,200 students who stay here all 4 years, and we're continue to increase that number. Right. A lot of them come here and fall in love with us and the atmosphere and the culture mm-hmm. we've built. And they want to stay. Some leave us and miss us so badly, they come back to finish here. Some come here and stay. I mean, and the majority right now do that because you can start somewhere and end somewhere. I like to think they choose us because of the culture, the quality of our faculty, the academic programs, which is, you know, top notch. I do know that the draw of a 40-mile huge campus of University Park and football and all that is a draw to many. And some would love to stay here, but they absolutely can't because we don't offer their major. So here at Altoona, we have four academic divisions. We have education, human development, social sciences. We have business and engineering, math and natural sciences, and arts and humanities. And in each one of those divisions, we have a whole host of programs. At the time we became a college, I was the first division head with three of my colleagues. I was the division head for education, human development, and social sciences. We started criminal justice, psychology, nursing, a variety of nursing programs, human development, family studies, and the list goes on. So we built that. And since 97 and over the years, we've added some to each division. Just for example, in business and engineering, we have mechanical engineering technology. We have RTE, a relatively new program, rail transportation engineering. And it is the only...
what a great thing for Altoona.
Think about the history.
Holy smoke, yeah.
Think about the history. My grandfather worked in the Samuel Ray shops. So after he was a farmer. Rail Transportation Engineering is the program here is the only baccalaureate program of its kind. It combines electrical, mechanical engineering, and some business and 8 specific courses based in rail in all of the country. And there's a huge need. Most people in the industry are retiring, and there's a huge need. So we have rail RTE, mechanical engineering technology, electrical mechanical engineering technology, security risk analysis. And we have business and accounting. In arts and humanities, we have several programs, including English, integrative arts, visual arts studies, political science, and more. In science, we have mathematics and biology and environmental studies program, which is cross-disciplinary and the only kind of environmental studies program of its kind at the whole university. So if people at University Park want that, they start there and come here.
I just am imagining this little scene where Norfolk and Southern and companies like them are lined up at your door on graduation day. I mean, I've never heard that RTE thing really caught my ear because what a wonderful offering for someone like this. You know, rail, freight rail specifically, is booming.
Exactly,
it's doing very, very well now, and because they've got it down. They're over the bad days of when the tracks weren't any good, and now they're all this continuously welded
Absolutely.
Rail, and they got all this great stuff. So, you know, just that alone has to really put you on the map.
It does, and let me tell you a little bit about that program. It was a little unorthodox at first, and I have to tell you, Representative Rick Geis planted the seed in my head.
Right.
I tease him because it was about 4 years he just kept driving this, and I thought, okay, I'm an academic. You know, usually we don't, in the academy, faculty come up with the idea for programs and you, mm-hmm. you birth them. Okay. It's unorthodox for a politician to come and say, hey, you need to do this. So honestly, and I'd say this if Rick were sitting here and we've laughed about it, you know, I really put it off because that's not the way we do things, right? So I thought, okay, I'm an academic. Let's do the research. Let's see what it says. And so we worked with David Wormley, the dean of engineering at the time at University Park and others. And Norfolk Southern actually gave us a $100,000 grant to do an investigation to see what's up here because they thought it had legs.
You
and
bet
so
they would.
We hired Charlie Marshall, who was a former businessman and rail executive. And he did the research and showed us that, yeah, there's a real need for this. And what better place for it with our strong electromechanical engineering background. That's our largest major. We have almost 300 students majoring in that. Everyone gets a job, every single one. It's amazing.
There's a wonderful collection, you probably have it here at the school, called Triumph. It's a 10-volume set of books about the Pennsylvania Railroad.
Yeah.
It must have 50,000 pictures in it.
Yeah.
And 10,000 of the pictures are about Altoona.
Yeah.
And it's the history of the Pennsylvania Railroad. And back then, they did it by on-the-job training. They would bring people.
Right.
They'd bring MIT and RIT graduates into the course and make them bang nails into the rails to learn the job. So it's just thrilling to hear you have this kind of thing that's directly attributable to a working job. It isn't academia often accused of staying in the clouds and not coming down to earth sometimes?
Sometimes. Yeah. But I think that's an unfair characterization because, sure, we provide folks sometimes with more technical skills and whatnot to get jobs. But the other thing in higher ed that we're very proud of, and this is what I think society needs to remember, we help educate people to become better thinkers and creators. And so who creates the jobs and the businesses and all that? Thinkers and creators. Mm-hmm. That's why a liberal arts education is extremely important as well. So we do both.
During the break, we talked a little bit about admissions. What's the admissions requirement here? Is it just like every other college? Do you have to have really, really good SATs? Do you have to really be a star student to get in here? Or how's it work?
Of course, testing and the entrance exams are about a third, but high school graduation GPA is looked at. In some colleges, for example, in the Shire Honors College, which we offer here at Penn State Altoona, there's also an application for that acceptance into that very prestigious program. And so we look at things at involvement outside of you know, the books, you know, what do you do in your community? What other things did you do in school? But it's not out of reach for many people. I mean, there are standards and cutoffs, and every college and every even different programs have different entrance GPA requirements. So it's very complicated. But here's what I can tell you. If you live in anywhere in Pennsylvania and want to come to Penn State, there is a campus there where you can start, and campuses are smaller, and sometimes and most times that brings more individual attention, smaller classes, and that's a good thing. Everywhere, University Park and here we have a tutoring center, we have extra help, we have disability services, special testing. We want you to be successful. Penn State's story is this: providing an opportunity for an excellent degree in higher education. Wall Street Journal ranks us number one as where they want to recruit from, because not only do we have the academic capabilities and the strong curriculum, but we provide this student with a work ethic and the skills to hit the ground running. And that's what makes us unique in the country, I feel. And so if you want to find a way, we have lots of scholarships and opportunities for you as well. One of the biggest challenges in higher ed in general right now, in my opinion, is access and affordability and years to graduation. And, you know, a lot of our students here work two, three jobs. Mm-hmm. And so some people say, well, you have a six-year graduation rate. Well, you raise a kid or two and try to work three jobs and go to college. It's difficult.
Sure.
And so we're reducing the student debt and reducing time to graduation, which reduces student debt.
I may have to return for a 2 or 3 hour program with you. Because
I would love that.
You are.
I would love it.
You're fantastic. I'm out of time, but I just really enjoyed this.
Do we really?
I really enjoyed this.
You know,
you've been great.
Now, Lloyd, think about this. Think what I do. I get paid to research, talk about, and do things that I love in biobehavioral health. I've never worked a day in my life, and now I get paid to be chancellor and brag about our college and try to make it great. It's a great life.
You've done an exceptional job on the bragging part, and I want to thank you very much for everything you've told us here today. And our guest has been Dr. Lori Bechtel-Wary. She is the chancellor and the dean, and gosh knows what else here. She seems to carry your bags up to your dorm room as well, so she's really a full-service
It takes a village.
Boss, so thank you again. You've been terrific. Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru on Route 220 in Bedford, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I look forward to joining you next time right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday beginning at 8:30 to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.